Truth News Network. It's time for real news
without the spin.
The only place you'll find it is at TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Here's your political ringmaster,
your host,
Dan Newman.
Well, here we are, and there is a national state of emergency underway right now. President Trump has declared a state of emergency, and the noise is deafening. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Truth News Network today. One Democrat operative declared in a televised interview, quote, "This president didn't get his way on his border wall. He threw a temper tantrum and is declaring a national emergency and then heading to the golf course. There is no national emergency," she said. Then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said this about that proposed Trump national emergency declaration before he made it. Quote, "That's an option, and we will review our options." I presume "our" means Democrat options. She continued, "But it's important to note that when the president declares this emergency, first of all, it's not an emergency what's happening on the border. It's a humanitarian challenge to us." Putting that aside, she said, just in terms of the president making an end run around Congress. Here he said, "Let us respect what the committee will do," and then walks away from it. The president is doing an end run around Congress. It is important to note that national security declarations and subsequent actions are not unique. This is not something new. In fact, since Congress gave the U.S. president pretty much unilateral power to implement such measures, there have been 58 such declarations made. President Trump has already issued 3. President Obama made his fair share, too. Just so you understand, let's put in perspective what some of these national security acts that have been put in place really are about. Let's take a look. There are a lot of national emergencies going on right now. In fact, there are 31 active national emergencies declared under the National Emergencies Act that are still in force. Bill Clinton used this authority 17 times in his presidency. President Trump has only used it 3 times. 11 of Obama-made declarations are still in force. Sorry, Democrats. This national emergency business is not quite the work of dictators, as some are saying about this president's action. Of Obama's 11 continuing national emergencies, you have any idea what they are? 9 of them were focused exclusively on foreign nations, not the United States, while only 1 seemed focused on protecting America. A declaration aimed at punishing individuals engaging in significant malicious cyber-enabled activities. Those words from the declaration. All of the rest of Obama's national emergencies were focused on blocking property or prohibiting transactions or travel for individuals engaged in various activities in, by order of the date of enactment, Somalia, Libya, transnational criminal organizations, Yemen, Ukraine, South Sudan, Central African Republic, Venezuela, and Burundi. Burundi. Does anybody know where Burundi is? Come on. Are the citizens of Burundi storming our borders, shipping millions of pounds of illegal drugs across the border, operating human and sex trafficking here that created the necessity for Obama to declare a national emergency regarding Burundi? Well, here's what the Burundi threat was and is to the United States. On November 22, 2015, by Executive Order No. 13712, the president declared a national emergency to deal with the unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States constituted by the situation in Burundi, which has been marked by the killing of and violence against civilians, unrest, the incitement of imminent violence, and significant political repression, and which threatens the peace, security, and stability of Burundi and the region. Now, one would think that with the severity of those horrors that are being just detailed going on in Burundi, and a national emergency being declared by the President of the United States, national emergency, you know, like hurricanes and wars and possible invasions of our country, all those kind of things that we think of when we think of national emergency. Burundi, you would think, would be just south of McAllen, Texas, or over south of San Diego, you know, just south of the border, with imminent danger for the United States. Burundi's a little country buried in the middle of Africa. Now, I'm not diminishing the fact that the Burundi people are very important, and they deserve to be living in freedom, no fear for their lives, kind of like what we have here in the United States. But there's a national security declaration in force regarding Burundi. The Burundi action taken, and most of the other such actions taken by previous presidents, were initiated not because of any direct physical threat of any kind to the United States. They, in total, were preventive actions taken in places and in circumstances to make certain no actual threats against the United States could be initiated that would end up here in the U.S. Even with that knowledge, together with the plethora of statistical data and actual specifics of the cost of illegalities at and from our southern border, those on the left in the U.S. still maintain
there is no emergency at the border. I repeat, there is no emergency at the southern border.
And of course, their continued mantra is that the president is pushing such national emergency action to simply fulfill a campaign promise. What's really their reasoning? No doubt, folks, about this one thing. The insanity of leftist cries against the closure of our southern border are purely political, purposeful. It's hard to say what I'm about to say, but it is necessary for all Americans to understand this. American leftists who rail against stopping illegal immigration into the U.S. do so with no regard for the price Americans have and will pay if we do not close the border. In the wake of the conservative media listing of names, showing pictures of murdered and tortured Americans at the hands of illegals, states giving details of the human and economic losses they sustain as a direct result of current open border political policies, leftists maintain there is no crisis. CNN's Jim Acosta, who was CNN's lead White House correspondent and the most obnoxious reporter in Washington, badgered the president in the Rose Garden, calling out Mr. Trump for his in-error reporting of illegal crime statistics. Mr. Acosta referenced an Associated Press report that stated this, and this is a quote from the AP report. Multiple studies have concluded that immigrants are less likely to commit crime than native-born U.S. citizens. That indeed was in the Associated Press report. But there was significant error in the report that has been pointed out and clarified with factual information and statistics after the fact. Of course, the truth, the clarification of the AP story, is never discussed, especially by those like Mr. Acosta. And by Acosta's reference of the report's inaccurate and misleading information, few, if any, of the members of the mainstream media even care about the accuracy in their reports. If it's bad news, or if it seems to fit their narrative, which is opposite of that of conservatives and this president, then that's what and why they want it to be reported. As it turns out, the Associated Press claim is not just inaccurate, it's quite misleading, because the multiple studies on crimes committed by immigrants, including a 2014 study by a professor from the University of Massachusetts, which is the only study cited in that AP article, combine the crime rates of both citizens and non-citizens, legal and illegal. Now let me clarify this. The General Accounting Office, GAO, nonpartisan branch of the government, it never changes between administration to the next administration. The GAO released a report that gives far more accurate statistics than quoted by Mr. Acosta and the Associated Press. The GAO report, and I'm going to do something a little bit different here. I'm going to give you the exact report so that you can look it up if you'd like. The number is GAO-05-646R. If you're listening to this and you want to find the report, if you'll go on the website, the story, and look down there, there's a hyperlink with that number. You can just click on the hyperlink. It'll take you right to the report. That report looked at the criminal histories of 55,322 aliens that entered the country illegally and were still illegal in the country at the time of their incarceration in federal or state prison or local jail during the fiscal year 2003. Those 55,322 illegal aliens had been arrested, listen to this, 459,614 times. That's an average of 8.3 arrests per illegal alien, and had committed almost 700,000 criminal offenses. That's an average of roughly 12.7 offenses per illegal alien. Out of all the arrests, 12% were for violent crimes such as murder, robbery, assault, and sex-related crimes. 15% were for burglary, larceny, theft, and property damage. 24% were for drug offenses, and the remaining offenses were for DUI, fraud, forgery, counterfeiting, weapons, immigration, and obstruction of justice. Now, is my imagination, or are Democrats and members of the mainstream media and other leftists ignoring the tragedies perpetrated on legal Americans by illegal aliens? Do they not even care that little boys and girls are being kidnapped, tortured, raped, sold into slavery by some of these illegals? Is it not important to them to stop the senseless drug overdose deaths of legal American citizens that are the direct results of the massive amounts of opioids and other murderous drugs trafficked into the U.S. through the southern border? And so it boils down to this. One big important question, and I direct this to Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all of the other Democrats who are pro-open borders, against the southern barrier borders that are about to be put up. Why don't they care? I must be honest. I'm scared, and I'm getting more and more fearful. I, in my wildest imagination, cannot picture a group of Americans who accept crimes committed against anyone as acceptable. And apparently, that is what we are dealing with today. The only explanation that I can muster that, even though plausible, is horrifying, is that those thousands and thousands and thousands of leftists who continue the open border mantra consider the felonies committed in the hundreds of thousands by illegals against Americans, legal Americans, a justifiable price to pay so that Democrats can stack the population of the U.S. with future voters who Democrats are certain will feel obligated to vote for Democrats. Well, they can't vote in elections, you say. Folks, some states already allow illegals to vote in state and or local elections. Those votes are cast in the same ballot locations at the same time, federal elections are being conducted. Who believes that at some point, if it hasn't already happened, that those illegals are going to be allowed to slip that vote for Congress members or for presidents and vice presidents to be slipped into that ballot box? Can you think of? Is there any other explanation than that one? God help us. Every politician who does not vocally and outwardly fight against illegal immigration, sanctuary cities, the forcing of local, state, and federal entities to support illegals in every way. Think about it. Education, health care, infrastructure. Those politicians need to be confronted by American citizens with this one question. How many American deaths at the hands of illegals are acceptable to you before you will begin to honor your oath of office in which you swore to uphold the laws of the United States? Those are the laws, folks. Immigration infringement against our borders is a crime. And these federal authorities who have taken an oath of office to serve you and to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the land are benignly turning their back and even assisting illegals to cross into and live in the United States. Honestly, we all should get in the faces of each of our lawmakers and demand a formal response to that one question. How many American deaths at the hands of illegals are acceptable before you will begin to honor your oath of office in which you swore to uphold the laws of the United States? Illegal immigrants and illegal immigration really are desperate problems in the U.S., and politicians of any ilk cannot explain that fact away. Here are just a couple of more examples.
Tonight, we take a ground-level look at the effects of crime committed by illegal immigrants, many of whom have been deported multiple times. Correspondent Steve Harrigan reports tonight from Jacksonville, Florida.
Mugshots tell the stories in brief. The bigger story involves a revolving door of undocumented migrants. Mexican national Hector Eduardo Ramirez Gutierrez has been arrested for dealing meth and deported from the U.S. seven times.
It's not a problem. It's a epidemic.
For those on the front line, the frustration is evident.
Our primary mission, our primary goal has got to be to get the illegal alien committing felonies out of this country and keep them out.
Doing so will be a balancing act for the new administration. Any increase in deportations could have unintended economic consequences. Yeah. Paul DeMar used to ship 80 truckloads of tomatoes a day, now just 20. He says he simply can't find Americans to pick tomatoes for $150 a day.
They really didn't take anybody's job, because the Americans aren't working in the fields, that I'm going to tell you.
Increased deportations could decimate the food growing industry in Florida, Georgia, and California, where at least half of the workers are undocumented migrants.
If they don't do it properly and it's not executed properly, there's really going to be a backlash against the administration.
Deported, came back.
That means being able to separate, arrest, and deport people like Maria Concepcion. She was deported back to Mexico once already, but the sheriff says she came back to restart her meth smuggling operation that netted her $70,000 a month. But that was not all. She was also receiving $900 a month in food stamps at the time of her arrest. Now she faces 27 years in U.S. prison at the U.S. taxpayers' expense. Her colleague, Ignacio Munoz Delgado, accused cocaine dealer, arrested, deported to Mexico in 2010, then arrested once again by the Polk County Sheriff's Office with enough weapons, AR-15 assault rifles, shotguns, handguns, to outfit a platoon. These are violent criminals who continue to beat the system, law enforcement officials say, even after they've been arrested.
That was Steve Harrigan from Fox News reporting. In closing, simply consider this one final thought. Every crime committed by an illegal alien is one that would not have occurred if that alien wasn't in the United States in the first place. I'm going to say that again. It's very important that we remember this when we're considering, discussing, contemplating this national security declaration that President Trump has just made. Every crime committed by an illegal alien is one that would not have occurred if that alien wasn't in the United States in the first place. They shouldn't be here, folks. We've got to stop it. How many legal Americans will be killed, raped, robbed, stabbed before you will say, enough is enough? Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being part of this very important discussion that we're having. We've got to resolve this. We've got to protect, go back, and preserve the rule of law in the United States of America. Until we talk again, have a great day. So long, everybody.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.